Local and international markets crashed during February and March, and the downward trend may not be over as significant uncertainty remains as to how the COVID-19 virus will reduce economic activity, both internationally and in South Africa. Now, this crash would have put a dent into most investors' pockets, but it is pensioners that are potentially the hardest hit, especially pensioners who are dependent on living annuities for income. On the line is Jaco van Tonder. He is the Director of Advisory Services at the asset management firm 91. Jaco, thank you so much for joining me. How worried should pensioners be?
Hi, Rick. I think in addition to having to be worried about their increased risk of complications from contracting the COVID virus, I'm afraid pensioners are also increasingly realizing what the impact had been of recent market movements. I mean, the 3 months to the end of March, investment performance figures are starting to flow into the press now, and we can see incredibly wild gyrations on various funds, which many pensioners would have been invested in. We can see that even in balanced funds, where there's only 60 or 70% in equities, the range of performance numbers over a three-month period goes as far negative as minus 20. And the best funds are marginally positive at 1% or 2% over the 3 months period. So actually, most pensioners, if they're going to be getting a statement from their living annuity in the next month or couple of weeks, they're going to find their capital value has diminished, probably in the region of 10 to 12%, which seems to be about the average. So that, I think, will jolt a lot of pensioners into some type of action, thinking that surely there must be something that they can do in response to this. And I think that's where our conversation of today really wants to focus on, is, and should people be doing something? And if so, what should they do?
Well, you've asked the question, should investors do something? And if yes, what should they do?
I think it's a very difficult position, partly because I think where we find ourselves today, there's no real historical benchmark that we can use to try and project what markets are going to do. So let's just look at the basics. So my kind of high-level suggestion to pensioners would be, first of all, assess whether your annuity was healthy to start off with. So what do I mean by was it healthy? What I mean by that is, if you're younger than age 70, were you drawing a responsible income of something like 5% or maybe 6% or less? And if you're older than 70, was your income 8% or less? Then at least it's a responsible income. Did you have adequate exposure to equities, 50, 60% minimum? And did you have at least 20 to 30% offshore exposure? If the answer to those questions are generally yes, for that category of pensioners, I would say you should actually not be doing anything to your annuity. And the reason quite simply is that because we don't know what markets are going to do from this kind of wildly volatile point on forward, anything that you do to your annuity is as likely to be detrimental as beneficial. So it becomes a bit of a gambling situation. And therefore, if you have a responsible annuity, I would say you would be best served doing nothing to the portfolio. However, a lot of people might not be in the position where their annuities are in line with the benchmarks I've given at the start. And those are the people who I think the question is much more pertinent to. So let's start with people where the income draw is too high. If your income draw is too high, I think that should get attention immediately.
What is too high?
So the number I quoted at the start, if your income draw, if you're younger than age 70 and you're drawing more than 6 or 7%, you've got a problem. If you're older than 70 years old and you're drawing more than 8, 9, 10% or double digits like 11 or 12, you've got a problem. And in that case, it's critical. If this annuity is the key and only main income source for a pensioner, it's critical for the pensioner to look at some way of being able to reduce that income draw. There's lots of research that shows that after market collapses, being able to not take an increase or even reduce your income has a disproportionately positive effect on the longevity of that annuity. Now, it's difficult to do because regulations kind of prohibit people from making changes to their pension income whenever they want to. There are lobbying efforts in the market underway between industry and the regulator. Get the regulator to allow people to do income reductions at the moment because of the wild response to markets. So we're confident that there will be perhaps some announcement about that. But when that does happen, people should take the opportunity, if they're drawing too high an income, to try and reduce that income and find alternative sources of revenue to kind of see themselves through the next 3 to 6 months. Because that's really where the big uncertainty is. The confidence interval about what markets are going to do and what the economy is going to do over the next 3 months is so wide that it's really impossible to make any kind of informed decision.
Now, it's not easy to do. I think many people do not have the option of reducing their drawdown or the income they need to survive. But of course, you know, markets do decline. But is there any short-term thing you think investors can do just to manage their living annuity to limit the short-term damage? Of course, I think many people can reduce their income requirements in the short term, but not in the long term. Would you advise any proactive steps now for pensioners to try and preserve some capital?
Greg, the markets have fallen quite a long way already. This morning, we were having a conversation with a number of our portfolio managers, and just listening in from the side, it's clear that there is no real consensus about how close we are to the bottom of the market. Even if you read a lot of well-publicized international research from big brand investment banks that's coming out every single day now, there seems to be quite a wide range of views on whether we are at the bottom of the market or not. And if, as long as that uncertainty is in the market, any decision you take now could backfire. Let's take the obvious decision. Switch to money market. I mean, I think for many pensioners, when they open that statement or they get it in the mailbox and they see it, the first response is, I need to stop this bloodletting and switch to money market. Well, what is the reality? The reality is that we know that government is going to be reducing the repo rate. Everyone is expecting a further 1% cut somewhere in the next week or two to help sustain the economy. Now, that is going to feed through to money market rates immediately. So the money market rates that you would be seeing at the moment advertised in the press, those are useless. The rates are going to fall by another 100 basis points or 1% and potentially even more. So if you switch to money market now, you're going to be switching into an asset class where the return is probably going to be 5%, if that much. And the question you've got to ask yourself is, what is the rebound potential for my equity assets and my international assets from where we are today? And is that not bigger than 5%? And that's what makes this question so difficult. It really becomes a gambling situation if you're trying to bet at timing the bottom of this market when highly paid international investment bankers are nowhere close to having consensus.
So your advice is sit on your hands and ride this out.
I think unless your portfolio was really ridiculously invested, I mean, if you were all in cash before this, well done. I'd actually can start thinking about potentially exposing some money to equities. But if you have gone through this crash and your portfolio has been 50, 60% in shares on the way in and offshore, and it's moved up and down and you've lost 10% of your capital, I'd say do nothing now. Your chances of making a big mistake is bigger than just seeing where this goes. If you want to do anything, start thinking creatively about managing your expenses. I think we need to accept the fact that the structural damage to the South African economy and the global economy that is going to be caused by this crisis will have a far longer term impact. And that longer term impact means that, you know, your future economic growth and then the growth in earnings and the growth on the stock market could remain muted for quite a long time, potentially a couple of years. And so people need to start thinking about how they manage their expenses in that type of environment.
There are many people who will lose their jobs during this economic hardship or time of hardship, and they will be forced to retire. And they will, of course, also be hit pretty hard. Do these people have any choices or things they should do prior to actually retiring?
Rick, I think someone is in the unfortunate position where 31 March was their date for retirement, or that they're going to be receiving a notification of early retirement somewhere in the next 3 to 6 months. Then clearly it's quite challenging. They would have suffered a 15% reduction in their pension fund value, these pensioners or these potential pensioners in the last 3 months. And therefore, they're retiring with a lot less money than they started off with. I think a good financial advisor would be able to help people work through the options. But broadly, you've got two options if you're in that position. The first one is you are able to still continue working and generating some income, in which case I think there's value in buying time. And by buying time, I mean if you retire, stay in some kind of equity and market exposure so that if there is a rebound in the next 9 months, that you participate in that rebound. History has shown that whenever a rebound does happen after a market crash, it happens very quickly. And if you miss it, it's over in a couple of weeks. So that would be the one strategy to take. And that's if you're able to find some type of consulting employment, you've got other assets maybe to live off, keep the money in the retirement fund or in a preservation fund and see if you're not able to get some of that back. If, however, you're in a position where you're forced to draw an income and financially you are completely dependent on that monthly salary and you are now retiring, I would consider seriously looking at what is happening in the guaranteed annuity space. I think some of the life companies, the bond yields have moved significantly. It will be interesting to see what impact that has on the annuity rates that the life insurance companies would be promulgating. My only word of caution there would be to make sure we know that these current market conditions are going to put balance sheet strain on a number of big institutions as they try and manage their cash flow. So I would say if you're going to be looking in the next 3 months at a guaranteed life annuity, look at one from one of the large balance sheet life insurance companies. I would say one of the big four or five with the strongest balance sheets in the current market conditions. And I think that would be a good option for someone who absolutely needs to get income in the next few months.
You also have the option to buy a living annuity, and then you have the option to take a portion of that offshore. Many pensioners have elected to take a significant amount or a significant proportion of the living annuity offshore. Do you think at the current exchange rate that is a good idea?
Well, right, people who've had money offshore, on the offshore part of your portfolio, I can tell you in the last 3 months, you would have had quite a nice, especially if you had balanced fund portfolio, you could have had up to 20-30% positive growth, depending on which fund you had. Some had 10 or 11 or 12. So offshore had already given you quite a nice number in the last 3 months, because primarily, I think, of the currency effect that we're seeing going through. If people are looking to increase their weighting to offshore, you have to look, the currency is a reflection of how attractive you look as an investment destination, as a country, relative to other countries. So if we look at how's our position changed in the last month? And the reality is that the Moody's downgrade has happened, and we are a country that had already been under some financial strain prior to the crisis. My suspicion is that there will be a big competition for international investment assets, and I don't think South Africa as a country at this stage is yet ready to be an attractive investment destination. So from that perspective, the currency where it's trading at the moment at 18 to the dollar might be with us for a while until there's more certainty on the longer term South African financial position. And so I'd say people are low on offshore and they're looking to buy some protection, even at 17.50 or 18 might be an option worth taking. You know, we've already moved from 14.50 to 18, which is quite a substantial move. So there's, you know, you always have that chance of a bit of a snapback. Although I think the consensus view at the moment is the world has definitely changed. So for South Africa as a country, the fight is on to become attractive again as an investment destination before we will see the currency strengthen.
Jaco, thank you so much for your time. That was Jaco van Tonder. He is the Director of Advisory Services at the asset management firm 91.